all the way through the New Testament, the book of Revelation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've given us so that we can follow. Lord, we do understand that that is what you've asked us to do, is to follow and then encourage others to join in and follow as well. All this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, okay. So I want you also to take this time, if you're looking at your bulletins, you got this little card right here, and I want you to take the time to fill out a prayer request. I want you to put us to work. Amen. Elder Ron does an excellent job of getting those prayer requests out to us so that we can join you in prayer for whatever your needs are. This past year, what it's done for me, if anything, is showed me what the power of prayer is all about. Because more and more I've seen evidence. I've seen the end of myself. And I see that God has to continue doing what he's already doing in order to carry us along. Amen? Good enough? Talking too softly? What? Put it in the center? Okay.
Yes, sir.
You can yell at me like my wife does. She's not over there, is she? Okay, good. But she's in the nursery. I'm in trouble. Anyway, so, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, you see the end of yourself. You know, when God gives you cycles, he gives you cycles. He's given me the first decade and the second and the third decade when I thought I knew actually everything in the third decade. And then he gave me that fourth decade. And then he blessed me with the fifth. And now he's blessed me with the sixth. As I approach the seventh, I really do realize the ends of myself in that. It's only God, by his grace, that we stand here right now and that we breathe and that we get an opportunity to fellowship. I want to encourage you today to go out and continue praising him and to speak with others and encourage them. You know, topic today is unity in the body of Christ. I'm going to talk on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. You know, I've heard Pastor Matthew on a number of occasions talk about how the Lord views the world from the top down as a tapestry. And so we might be looking at things and we say, what a mess we got. But God's looking through that tapestry from the top down, and it's beautiful. He understands the beginnings and the ends, and he knows. And so the things that trouble us, those threads that hang down, the exposed seams and everything in the tapestry, you know, we're looking at those and we get caught up into those. And the main thing that we are to do is to focus on is trying to develop that God view. That's what we need to do. He sees beauty of a finished work, and we on the other hand see the view from underneath. We see the details surrounding the unfinished view, and that really derails us from time to time. You know, I've also heard Pastor Matthew sometimes when he's been hustling about go, whew, you know? And this pastor has a full load. He's got, you know, how many kids? Is there four total, you know? And so he's shepherded that family all the way through. And in the meantime, he's worked with us. We've had the benefit of him and his messages that he's given that have been given of God. And this week has been an incredible week, as I've known about this topic for quite some time. So I've had a chance to chew on it. But I've got a pretty good load at home, too. And it helped me to realize, my goodness, he's doing this every week. And so I want us to, let's put our hands together for Pastor Matthew, please. Let's just do that. Appreciation for that, you know. So it's wonderful. You know, I was at Antioch Bible Church many, many years ago, and I was just one of the members, the bench sitting members, you know. And so I was complaining that the greeters weren't warm enough, that the ushers weren't assertive enough, and they weren't engaging with the folks that were coming in. And I was talking to one of the elders. You know, you should never, ever do that. Never complain. Because they said, well, you know, you got some great insights. I'd like for you to join our welcome team so that you can come in and maybe you can influence the folks. That happens. And, you know, it was wonderful. I had a wonderful time on their welcome team over there. Whenever you feel that you could do something better, go talk to one of the elders and see what will happen. Now, I haven't been complaining about Pastor Matthew's sermons, but perhaps I have been dozing off a little bit, and so now you see what's happening right now. So I'm going to be messing with everybody that looks like they're starting to lean over a little bit. You know, I'm going to walk right up to you because we're recording this, and if it's good enough, it's going to end up on the web. Right, Glenn? So I'm going to call names out. Carl. Where's Carl? Where's Carl? There he is. I'm going to call out names today. Anyway, the bottom line is when a man of God decides to answer the call of God to pursue ministry as a profession, he's chosen a path with many, many trials. And there's that other T, tribulations. No matter how successful a pastor seems on the surface, there's stuff happening all the time. So we must keep him in prayer. Pastor Matthew, we have to keep him and his family in prayer. And then, if your knees aren't sore, you pray for us elders as well. And then if you can still go on, Jody puts together a wonderful, wonderful calendar that we can follow. And if you follow that calendar, now we're all together united in prayer. Amen. Which that message is central to what I'm going to talk about, us being united. But back to the trouble and challenges. I want to touch on this since I do have the microphone today. You know, 2 weeks ago, December 15th, Pastor Rick Warren had a devotion in which he talked about problems and how they're absolutely necessary. And he referred to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, and I will read them. The Bible says, "Be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine and is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than gold, than mere gold at that. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Now, I love that because I'm in a season right now where every phone call, every other phone call is a challenge. You know, you like to get those phone calls when folks say, "Hey, you know, I was just thinking about you. I love you. Take care." You know. And, "Oh, you're such a great guy. I just thought I would call you and say hello. You're just great. You're wonderful." You know. Anyway, I don't get a lot of those calls. I get calls, at work I'm a troubleshooter. I'm a change manager. And no one calls me with good news. They call me with things that I have to do. Or that I get to do. Things that I get to do. And that's what happens, you know. And you call them problems, you know, that's what you call them. But they're ever so necessary for me to get paid, and they're ever so necessary to be shaped and molded in the body of Christ. For example, Rick Warren goes on and he says, "Those verses describe several truths that are the same today as they were in Peter's day." You know, I love the way Peter expresses himself. Paul, a lot more eloquent. Luke, a lot more analytical. Peter is just like an in-your-face kind of outreach kind of fella, you know. He says, and as we expand on those verses, problems are temporary. They're temporary. They won't last forever. But God is using those trials for his purposes. Ooh, he's using your trials. Can you get off the trouble that you're having and understand that you're being shaped and molded? And problems are necessary. They're an indispensable part of preparing you for heaven. Okay? So, all right? They are varied. You'll experience trials of all different shapes, sizes, and levels of intensity. Problems test your faith. You build muscles by testing them. The same is true with your faith. You know, I think about my life. My parents did a good job, I believe, of shielding me from the horrors of a lot of things that were going on in Chicago. And as I grew up in Chicago, and even then, I still witnessed some things, which is at the toughest time. That's why my mother introduced me to the 91st Psalm. You know, if you know that 91st Psalm, you'll know that it's necessary. You're going to encounter challenges. You know, 1,000 will fall at your left and 10,000 at the right, but it shall not come nigh thee. You know, you make the Lord, you dwell with the Lord, and you'll see. So, but I'm still having these issues, but you will prevail. I'm about to start speaking King James. You shall prevail, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, problems test your faith. Problems purify your motives. You know, God is, this is the one where, especially if you came along like I did, and sometimes you hear doctrines and the way folks interpret the gospel. And so if you come to Christ, that means that everything's going to be all right, period. It's going to be all right. You're going to be better. You're going to be better off than that person that doesn't know Christ. You know, so now, you know, you go through life and you start seeing these folks that don't know the Lord, they're being rewarded in their jobs or investments and things like that. And here you are, hand to mouth. What's going on there? You know, oh, maybe I need to pray more, or maybe I need to give more. Whatever the case is, you feel that you need to do more instead of line yourself up with the word as it is. God is much more interested in your character than your comfort. He'll use trials to refine your character. Much more interested in your character than your comfort. So, does that make you happy? I mean, God, like, man, y'all, okay. I'm sorry. But that's the way it is. And then problems prepare you for your rewards. And the trials you're going through, you know, they don't even compare to the rewards that you're going to have when you get to heaven, you know? So, you know, that's, you know, I'm struggling right now with, got a pinched nerve. Oh, don't touch that. Pinched nerve. And sometimes that thing bothers you so much, you say, Lord, no more pain. You know, it would be wonderful. But we have work to do here. We got much work to do. We got to endure all kinds of trials, tribulations before we're there. And do you know what? People are watching you. If they know that you know the Lord, they are watching you. People are watching you when you don't even realize they're watching you. You know, so you have an opportunity by just walking through things to inspire others. But what if you fall down? We got a big God. He can handle that as well. He can handle that as well. And I'm counting on that, as I've not always stood up. You know, so I want to use this as a context or as a backdrop to today's sermon. You know, so that's what we want to do. We want to know that we're going to encounter trials. You know, and I still might get that white Cadillac that I've been praying for. You know, that kind of thing. But that's not, you know, it's got to be according to His purpose. I don't know what purposes does a white Cadillac have. I'm just trying to figure it out. It's getting further and further away. Okay, he's working with me. So, we're going to read, let's read through Ephesians 4, 1 and 13. 11 through 13. And I'm going to read the Amplified Version because it really, really spoke to me. Are we ready? We got something back there? Okay, all right. So, I'm reading the Amplified, so it may not follow completely. It says, and His gifts to the church were varied, and He Himself appointed some as apostles, special messengers, representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. He did this
to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service, to build up the body of Christ, that is the church. And until we reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become mature believers, reaching the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness, and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity. So I thought at the start of this, again, that's the amplified version. I thought at the start of this that I understood what that was all talking about. But as I read more and more and more, God gave me something more. And so, you know, basically, he flipped those scriptures. I went down to 13 and it says, until we reach oneness in the faith, which tells me that there's a need, a definite need for the foundations that the apostles laid, the prophets, and the evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and the pastors, until we reach a oneness in faith. So not that it's a hassle for us to come and fellowship together and listen to a pastor or some teacher talk to you about the Word of God. But what this is, it's the purpose of this, is to continue building up the body of Christ so that we can all get to that oneness in faith. This is going to continue until we get to that oneness in faith. You know, that's generally the purpose. So as I went through this, you know, it's interesting. You can get caught up in trying to define the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. You know, what's their job? You know, what are the gifts that associated with those individuals? You know, and there's a whole lot of materials that you can go out there. Light research, Google those very verses, and you'll get just tons and tons of material. But what I got out of it was the fact that it seems to me that rather than to be concerned about those titles, and they're important, but us as the body of Christ, we have got to be concerned with maturity, spiritual maturity. Because if you get called to any one of those titles, of course, you know, the argument is that apostles are those that had a direct contact with the Lord. It's the apostles. But we hear all the time, we hear about apostle this and apostle that, you know, out here. Folks that take on that title. And so that's a controversy. We don't divide over that. But there are some learned individuals that say apostles refer to the 12. But if you must, you know, we're looking at a person, a special messenger representative. You know, we've heard people say, you know, God told me this, he told me that. I'm hearing from God this, that, and the other. We hear about folks that refer to themselves as prophetess this and that, who speak a new message from God for the people, to the people. And I think you can be confused. But that confusion can lead you to delve into an area that may not be a priority for you right now. That priority, your priority is spiritual growth in Christ, knowing more about Christ, drawing nearer to the Lord, being more intimate with his word, digging in there. We heard Elder Glenn talk about Bible in a year. There's no better way than to refer to the Lord's word every day and keep pace, keep that discipline every day. That's one way that you can grow in maturity. You know, he comes and he talks to me about what he's reading. I talk to him about what he's reading, and we dig deeper. That's the way that happens. And that should be going on with all of us, every last one of us. You know, so what happens when you fall behind? You know, hey, that's just part of your backlog. You need to be in that word every single day. You know, what I find is that as I go along, you know, okay, so I'm an elder. If we want to get technical, certainly not an evangelist, not a pastor, although in my home, I've recently got that picture that I'm the shepherd at home, definitely. And so I've got some wonderful lambs at home, and some of them go off, and you know, I have to get that staff. What do they do with the staff? You know, that's the rod of discipline. I mean, you have to get that thing out. You know, can't hit them, but you do have to discipline. Not supposed to be hitting them anyway. So that's the deal. You have to work with the flock that the Lord gives you. And so how can you be effective? You know, because you're not going to always get it right. Well, one thing for sure, if you have the Word of God and the fellowship of believers, you have a great, great foundation. You have great tools and help. You know, when you feel in the lowest about your performance and your role, you got other folks that are right in that same boat with you. No, I'm not saying they don't have to be afflicted with the exact same thing, but people that understand, you know. I was talking to a brother a couple of weeks ago about a wayward child that I have. You know, almost in tears because, you know, the stuff is, it's out of your control. So you're limited to that one tool, and that's prayer. And then if that person comes to you, now you can encourage them. But you're not to despair, and you're not to give up. That's the one thing. And as I talked to this brother, he was dealing with something similar. And man, it encouraged me because when I see him, he's walking upright, you know. And so he may be praying all the time about it, but he looks to me like he's rejoicing to me. And rejoicing doesn't mean giddy happy. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is that you go, Carl, if you go to 1 Thessalonians 5, right? You go there to 5, and man, it just takes you right through that. It takes you right through that. It takes you through. It says, rejoice always. How do I do that when I got all these problems? You're praying unceasingly. So if you're praying unceasingly, you can rejoice always. And if you're praying unceasingly and you're rejoicing always, then you can get to the third, that 18. And that one is be thankful. Be thankful in all circumstances, not just the ones that are going good, not just when things are lining up the way you want to. All circumstances, all the news that you get, all the feedback that you get, all of it, you're thankful for it. I know other brothers in Christ that went through years of negative feedback, some of it fair, some of it unfair, and they persevered. They continued in the fellowship. We prayed together, and we got an opportunity to enjoy a praise report. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is. How are you going to give a praise report if you never had a problem? How are you going to do it? I don't know. Maybe you can. I'm a knucklehead. That's why God gives me issues so that I can pray my way through them. And when I get through them, what a wonderful time it is. But it's getting to the point that when I prevail, I know that there's still another trial around the corner. Right? Pastor Ken Hutchison said at one point in a sermon, when you're on the mountaintop, you appreciate it because you've been in the valley and you prepare for the valley when you're on the mountaintop. When you're in the valley, you know that the mountaintop is there and it's for you. So you know, that's how you go through life. Is that boring? No, it is not. I'm going to tell you something. I have more, as a young man, I love to party. I mean, I just love to party. And when I go to a party, I try to dance on every song, every last one of them. I try to dance. I enjoy partying. But what I have found is that ain't nothing like a Holy Ghost party. It's nothing like this fellowship. When the doors open, I want to be there. I want to be here, opening the door. When Ron opens these doors, if there's nothing to do, I'll go up on that piano and I bang. I can't play a lick worth of piano, but I get up there and I play, you know. And when I get bored with that, I go get on the drums and I beat on those drums, you know. I got a rhythm in my head. It's crazy as heck, but you know what? I play it, you know? And then I get an opportunity to sing his praises on the various worship teams. I get a chance to minister with Jeff White. I'm working on ministry with Scott, Doug, you know, Kathy, these worship leaders. It's just a wonderful thing to do. You get a chance to do that, you know? And so I can't think of anything better, but I can appreciate it because I know the troubles. You know, right now, my mother's in a nursing home and she's in hospice, right? Okay. And boy, you know, generally I walk through it on a daily basis and I'm okay. But then I remember who's in hospice. It's not me. She's there, you know. And so the focus is on her care, her comfort, not mine. And by the way, if I'm uncomfortable, what's God doing? He's molding my character. So yeah, even though I'm walking around and I'm on the verge of tears a lot because I don't have any control over the situation, he's there. I know he's there. And because I know he's there, I can encourage others. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to be, at a minimum, I want you to be encouragers. And also be willing. A willing listener, and you know, if God, you know, spurs you, you know, speak the truth, you know, where you say, Homer, I know you got that issue, but you know, you made a bad decision last week. I didn't want to tell you, but you know, that's your fault, you know, and so let's pray. I mean, just come, bring it, you know, just please, you know, so the what I want to do is I broke up those three verses. And you break them down if you go to verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as preachers and teachers. All those are based on giftedness that come from the Lord. And frankly, we're not to concern ourselves too much about who has what gift. Again, what we're to be working on is spiritual maturity. He did this to fully equip. He assigned those four roles to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service. That's what we're to be concerned about, is the works of service. And to build up the body of Christ, the church. Some years ago, I left Community Bible Fellowship to start a church and hung in there for 8 years. And then after that 8-year period of time, we came back and we had an opportunity to enjoy a full functioning church, full functioning, where there were elders, deacons, worship teams, people exercising their gifts, teachers, adult Bible school, children's Bible school, youth, all those various functions, everybody operating in their gifts. It was absolutely wonderful. And that is what we got to continue to do, is to help each other develop our gifts. In the coming weeks, Pastor Matthew is going to be talking more about this. Perhaps he'll even dig deeper into those four roles. But I'm not going to go there because I know that spiritual maturity is one of the struggles that we've got to overcome. That's where we need to be focused there. Amen? Amen? All right. Okay, so let's see. I've done a guilty, I'm guilty of using too much time because Jeff White and his crew still have some additional songs that they like to do. Let's see. Why don't I fast forward to the end here? What we're talking about is maturing in the faith. We can't get a full measure of the four roles mentioned in Ephesians 4:11 unless we can say amen in agreement with the purpose for the apostles, prophets, preachers, and teachers. We would be wise to understand that God through Christ, sent forth apostles, those directly commissioned by the Lord to build the foundations of the church in collaboration with the prophets. Evangelists are positioned to proclaim to the flock the need for salvation. And then, of course, we have those pastors that are charged with the maintenance of the flock. Amen? Is that clear? Maybe if there's anything that you take away from today, I'd like for you to take that away. Amen? Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for allowing me to ramble on today, Lord. Lord, I ask that you continue to bless this flock, bless this church, bless the families, Heavenly Father. All those that are here, the representative of other flocks, other churches, Lord, bless them, bless their flock. Traveling mercies for all of those that are visiting, Heavenly Father. Traveling mercies for those that are just our local people, Lord. Lord, I also ask that you continue to bless this fellowship today. Bless it mightily in Jesus' name. Amen.